Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you've count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
All my bets were safe. There just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
All right, welcome into another Behind the Bets podcast. It is Thursday, October 24th. However, Mr. Executive Director is flying to the nation's capital to watch his beloved Nationals in Game 3. So we actually taped this yesterday in case there's any crazy injuries or any of the big news that we don't touch on that happened Wednesday night. Now you know why. But it's a full breakdown of the NFL, looking ahead to this weekend, also recapping last week a little bit. Also, baby bankroll bonanza. Murray, again, 2-0, so back in the win column, bounces back. So nice job by him. We have a few plays coming your way. And exciting stuff in the NFL. Travis, what do you think of all these big favorites here, including Thursday night?
Thursday night.
I don't know if it's the Kirk Cousins Bowl or the Case Keenum Bowl.
Yeah.
So we got a 16-point spread. We have a 13-point spread with the Rams. And we have another 13-point spread with the Patriots, a 14.5 on Monday night.
The Patriots, I'll take them. But some of those other ones, it's almost like something's going to happen with those games.
Good tease. I have one of those big dogs is in the bonanza.
Perfect. So,
all right, let's get to it.
He started as a ticket writer.
Well, the handle has gotten a lot higher here in the last hour.
Now he's a race and sportsbook director.
I have the guys at work here calling me Mr. Director and not looking directly into my eyes.
With people.
Brought in a whole new staff this year. It's kind of a Seinfeld-esque move where we just rotate the guys so the material doesn't get stale, Doug.
What happened in between? A hot tub and ESPN.
Kicking is for losers.
It must be nice not having to watch any NFL games because your Twitter feed just blows up as soon as there is any ridiculous kick. They watch for you.
I don't need
you
to watch. Yeah, I was at the hockey game Thursday night. I didn't see any of the Thursday game. Sunday we gotta have to watch because we're all here at work. It's so bad. How bad was the Monday night game? It's ridiculous.
Well, the point spread's the great equalizer. A lot of action, sure. Even at halftime when it was 24-0. The spread was still in play, all things considered.
And I did enjoy
Darnold just ended up being one of the worst quarterback performances ever.
Yeah, he was awful. I did enjoy the end of the Titans Chargers game though. That was kind of funny. I thought I don't know if you watched the final sequences there, I really thought that. I thought the Titans pretty clearly got a first down on that fourth down play, and they got this horrific spot, and then they didn't even bother to challenge it. And it's just what are they doing? And then the Chargers go right down the field. Just all they did was dump the ball off to Austin Eckler, and then they just blow it at the end. I thought the whole thing was hilarious. It was a very fun sequence.
It is fascinating, right? When you really want to take a look at it, take a step away. And you're like, wait, it's a multi-billion dollar company, the NFL.
And they have these, quite a bit of money, yes.
They have these older gentlemen running up and down the sideline, not in a straight line, to spot the ball that's inexact to begin with. And then you can't review it. I don't know. Maybe there should be lines on every yard instead of every five.
I don't know what they're doing. I thought the Titans got that first down. I'm not saying it was a slam dunk that they got that first down.
I did too.
I thought they got it. I thought they got it. And the ball was actually spotted backwards, if you can believe that. It was spotted behind where they started the play from. So it was just an egregiously bad spot. And they don't even bother to look at it. And it would have ended the game. I thought it was just unbelievable. I don't know what those teams are doing. And then the Chargers, you can't run the ball there. I mean, of course, you don't expect them to fumble, but you can't run the ball there when you don't have any timeouts. I don't know what
they were going for the win. They were going for the win. They didn't want the field goal at all. And you can go for the win and throw too. To your point,
I would just throw it and have another chance on the next play. It doesn't matter. I was happy because I was on the Titans. The book really needed the Titans in that game, but I just thought the end of the game was a little ridiculous. Can we say that? Ridiculous.
That is accurate. But
The NFL is becoming ridiculous. Not becoming, but it is ridiculous in so many ways.
The NFL, it's there. It's arrived at ridiculous. It's not en route to ridiculous. It's there.
I saw a stat that the Patriots are like 70% ATS like the last 2.5 years or something ridiculous. Yeah. Why are we just bet on them every week?
Well, the people that bet here do. And I'll tell you, once again, Bill Belichick, you know, it's hard to believe that the Sam Darnold we saw against Dallas a week earlier that I was so complimentary of was the same guy who played on Monday night against New England. Belichick is just so far ahead of these other coaches. He's so far ahead of everybody. It's almost not even fair.
So I like to always pursue the answer to the question, why? Have you thought about why the NFL is so hard to beat and so hard to handicap?
I just think it's because the sharpest market, but I haven't really thought about it too much.
So, like, my theory is that, I mean, all these lines are around, like, the same window. Like, you don't have the 35-point spreads like you do in college, right?
No, not 35, but I will say the NFL spreads seem to be getting higher and higher. Yeah, but certainly not 35, so you're correct.
So, I mean, it starts, your response was the number one answer. It's because it's the tightest market. But I just feel like it changes so much game plan wise, and Belichick is the epitome of it. What he does on a week-to-week basis to make teams play differently, and then when teams are playing well, like we've seen teams that win two or three in a row get absolutely, lose convincingly, it's because the other team is changing things up. So I think that's what it might be the most. It's just so much change throughout the course of the season of schemes.
Yeah, that could be what it is. I'm constantly fascinated by how much smarter Belichick is than the opposition. Like, how can there not be at least 10 or 12 people in this world that can be really excellent NFL head coaches? Like, how is that even possible? There's so much money in the NFL. How can one guy be so much smarter than everybody else? Doesn't even seem possible.
Honestly, I'm beginning to think Sean Payton's getting there.
Sean Payton is a great coach. Sean Payton, it would be the guy I would say him and John Harbaugh are 2 and 3 in my book. But still, I would say there's a big gap between Belichick and those two guys. And I respect those two guys a ton.
Yeah. I think what the Saints are doing this year is so impressive. I mean, I was on the Bears last week.
The Bears were a pretty sharp side, man. I'll tell you, we saw a lot of sharp guys I know were on the Bears. Very bad spot for the Saints. Bears coming off their bye week. Seemed like a good time to get behind Chicago. And, again, New Orleans, so impressive this year.
Well, I mean, they don't have to face an offense. Like, if the other team's not...
That helps.
Not running... I mean, all their stuff is so basic, and they have a quarterback who's coming off injuries, not good to begin with.
Yeah, Trubisky really struggled in that game. But I really think that at some point you've got to look at the head coach, Matt Nagy, and give some of the blame to him. Everybody wants to simplify things so much in the NFL. It's like, well, this team's good. Okay, the quarterback's good. Or this team's bad. Okay, the quarterback must suck. But there's usually a lot more at play than that. And it's not like Trubisky is the only problem with the Bears. They're not running the ball. Their play calling is very suspect. Their defense is awesome, but... You know, they're really falling back right now in the NFC North. Green Bay and Minnesota both look so good right now. Chicago, they're in a lot of trouble. This is a team that right now looks like they're not going to make it to the postseason.
I think you guys are going to be okay with those Trubisky MVP tickets.
Yeah. Oh, well, I think, I think we're going to be fine there. I mean, I think the MVP really, in a lot of ways, one of the more interesting, in terms of betting at least, interesting topics in the NFL right now, because we talked about how we took a $20,000 bet on Mahomes to win the MVP at -110 a few weeks ago. Russell Wilson, for a while there, looked like the clear favorite. Russell Wilson really struggled on Sunday against Baltimore. Threw a pick six, his first interception of the year. And Aaron Rodgers looked so good against the Oakland Raiders. Right now, Rodgers and Russell Wilson are co-favorites at 7-2. And then another guy that had a huge game certainly was Lamar Jackson. And Lamar Jackson's a guy we lose a ton of money on in the MVP pool. We've got him at 10-1 right now.
Not too long ago, you couldn't put these on the board.
Yeah, this is our first year doing it. So it's been, and we've wrote a ton of money in this pool, like way more than the Heisman Trophy. And I thought before we started doing this, I thought for sure the Heisman would still be the biggest one in terms of the MVP betting. I was totally wrong about it. Never underestimate the popularity of the NFL. You know, as much as I make fun of it, it's still so much more popular than the other sports, even college football.
That is fascinating to me because I thought it was about 50-50, like, or 1-to-1 ratio. If you add up all the college, right, you get all the volume.
Well, there's so many more games, so right. So of course. But just in a one-off scenario, the NFL is king for sure. And, like, the Heisman Trophy is such a glamorous award that everybody remembers who won the Heisman. Everybody talks about it. To me, NFL MVP is not something that people really care about or invested in. But the money that we've taken in the pool would prove me wrong on that. I'll say that.
Yeah, 20 large on the MVP in, like, week four is kind of funny.
It's a big bet, yeah. And I should mention, too, we also have Deshaun Watson at 7-2, along with Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. But right now, Aaron Rodgers is kind of all the rage in that pool, coming off of a great win, a great performance, I should say, on Sunday.
If I could summarize the NFL betting in one sort of sentence in one team, it's the Philadelphia Eagles, who have handed the Packers their only loss at Lambeau, right?
Yeah.
And then they've also
Thursday night.
They've also been the Falcons' only team that lost to them.
You know, I'll say this about the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, that is crazy when you think about it, but Philadelphia, they've had so many guys hurt this year, and they've had a really hard schedule. They've already played at Green Bay, at Minnesota, at Dallas. Now they're playing at Buffalo this week. After that, they've got Chicago, New England, Seattle on deck. Really tough schedule for the Eagles, and a lot of guys hurt. I still maintain that they're better than their record, but at some point you've got to start winning games to prove it.
I would agree with that. I think early on, I mean, look at the Bills' power rating in our ESPN poll. Not that that is the end-all, be-all, but they're like 25th or something ridiculous, and they're 5-1. I found it fascinating. My point is, early in the season, records aren't really a true representation of a team and kind of furthers your point about the Eagles' schedule. I'm fascinated by your AFC East odds that you've posted.
I'm fascinated that we even have it available for betting. But
well, hold on. The Bills are 5-1 and almost beat the Patriots.
I know there. I know.
I mean, if Allen doesn't get hurt.
I understand that, but do you think there's any way that the Patriots won't win the division? I mean,
yeah, I do think there's a way. Brady is 42, looks it, and can take one hit, and he's out.
I don't know that would make that big of a difference. I mean, the Patriots are not winning right now because of Brady. I mean, I think Brady's playing fine, I guess, but it's not like it's because of him. Their defense is suffocating. Brady basically
has
to stand back there.
Like five of the worst seven teams in the league.
But Brady basically just stands back there and just hits open receivers that are 5 yards away from him. I know. I mean, he runs the offense to perfection. I'm not taking it away from him, but it's not like he's doing anything physically taxing at all. He just stands back there and hits the open receivers.
I don't think Jarrett Stidham could do it as effectively. I'm going to go on a limb and say that, right?
I don't either.
So they have games. Now, again, people in their division also have these games, but they're at the Ravens, at the Eagles, home to the Cowboys, home to the Chiefs with Mahomes presumably back. Then they get the Bills at home too. But you guys are what, minus 5,000?
Yeah, minus 5,000. The Bills are 8-1. And if you want to bet on the Jets or the Dolphins, we're certainly open for those wagers.
I would not take the Bills at 8-1. But no. I would not lay my 1-50 odds either on the Patriots winning the division.
What you'll get when you open up a pool like this, what happens is you're just going to get money on the three. I'll include the Bills in it, the three long shots, and that's what we want because the people that bet that are going to lose. And we want, like, right now we win a good number on New England and we get killed on any of the other three teams, and that's exactly how we want it to be.
Yeah, I mean, I would need like 20-1 on the Buffalo to get involved, something like that.
20-1 would be a little high. I mean, you're right. If Brady were to get hurt, I still think New England would win the division pretty easily.
Well, their defense is great. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they're like a farce undefeated team. They're awesome. Their defense is great. Yeah. They're obviously a really good team. But it's still early. I just thought because there's a team that's 5-1 and not all, like, it's not just the Jets and Dolphins. But
yeah, but you got to consider, too, don't forget that New England already won in Buffalo. And they still have a game to play against each other in New England, which the Patriots will obviously be a big favorite in. And if the Patriots win that game and they'll be favored big to do so, they would have the sweep, and then Buffalo would then have to beat them by a full game.
I'm just talking a Brady injury. That's all I'm talking about. And then just let me know when someone lays the minus 5,000. That's what I want to know.
I will do that. That won't happen. And that, I mean, and that's why you put the number up like that. It's because you don't want anybody to bet on New England. You want them to bet the other teams.
If you count a 10-point spread for Monday Night Football this week, they've been double-digit favorites in 5 of 7 games.
That's correct. Yeah, no, their schedule's been so. I don't even know what to say about them anymore. They're just so much smarter than everybody else. They made Darnold look like he'd never played organized football before. Belichick is just—he's extraordinary.
Remember when people were taking the Patriots or excuse me, the Steelers week one?
Oh yeah, that number got bet way down. Yeah. That number closed like 4.5 or 5. Of course, I remember that.
We'll never learn. We'll never. I think I've picked against him in like three weeks in the Pick'em League.
There's got to be something better to do with your time and money than bet against the Patriots. There just has to be.
I say it. Why would you take taxed income and lay minus 110 against Bill Belichick and Tom Brady? It's just
there's
got
to be better pursuits for you on your Sundays out there, folks.
Yeah, I'm so proud I did not take the 10 points on Monday night. I thought about it. I did it in my Pick'em Leagues, but I was like, you know what? I don't need to grab these 10 points. I just don't.
Yeah, I liked the Jets right before kickoff.
I did too.
Right before kickoff, I got a text that this guy that's really sharp was here trying to bet as much as we would let him bet on the New England money line. And I just thought to myself, yeah, the Patriots are going to kill him again. And I didn't think they were going to win like that. I'm not going to say I thought it was going to be 33-0. But once I heard that, I had a feeling what was coming next.
Well, it's funny. We heard all these people criticize, like, who have they played? Well, and, like, yeah. You know Belichick does it. I have a cubicle next two away from Teddy Bruschi, and I've asked him. He says Belichick puts up poster, like, bulletin board material. Like, he does. So I wonder how much he was telling them, like, who have you played? I wonder. Or they're just that professional and go out and kick butt regardless. But
did you see the Belichick celebration after the win Monday where, like, the team is all celebrating in the locker room and he just said something to the effect of, hey, the Browns were practicing today. We're already a day behind the Browns. We got to get ready for Sunday, guys. He's just a machine.
He's
man.
A robot.
He's a machine.
I like the smile when he was trying to take the delay a game and false start, and then Adam Gase was. I mean, that's the other thing is you're taking Gase plus 9.5 against.
I hear
Belichick.
You. And Adam Gase is a guy very questionable hire at the time, and it looks very questionable now. I can't believe that was the best they could have done. A guy that failed in Miami. I just don't understand it.
It's the Jets, and that's all you need to know. I mean, it was the offensive background, obviously, for Darnold. That was the thought, at least.
Yeah. Wow.
All right, sir.
I know Adam Gase looked good when his quarterback was Peyton Manning. I'll say that. Still a very effective Peyton Manning. A lot of people could be the offensive coordinator for Peyton Manning.
Fortunately for your Washington Redskins, is the Nats have an travel day so they can have the spotlight all to themselves on Thursday night.
I can't wait to watch this one. We got the Redskins plus 16 at the Vikings right now. Not a lot of action to report in terms of betting here at the book. It's just a dud of a game. I got to think there's an NBA game that night you could be watching instead, right?
Case Keenum and Kirk Cousins, we meet.
Yeah, on opposite teams now, right? Keenum now with Washington, Kirk with the Vikings. I saw some of the Washington press people that I follow on Twitter this morning tweeting about how crazy it is that, like, Kirk Cousins is coming home to play Kirk Cousins is playing the Redskins, I should say. And nobody in Washington cares about it because they're all focused on the Nationals.
The Washington Redskins Twitter account after the game won tweeted, you know, the hashtag stay in the fight. And I encourage everyone to spend a few minutes and just go read the comments. Pretty enjoyable. A lot of Dan Snyder mentions.
They've turned off an entire generation of their fans. And it's going to start to really hit Snyder's bottom line eventually because – right now, all that it is people that are there to support the road teams. The Redskins fan base has been completely turned off by Snyder.
I did a tweet and it got crazy, made the round, so to speak. But the Redskins became just the second team in the last 25 years to cover a point spread without scoring.
Yeah,
so I saw. Congratulations! Congratulations!
I thought, that's great. Actually, that was a big winner for the book on Sunday. If you can believe it, we were actually paying attention to that game. We needed the Redskins huge. I think that was our biggest winner of the whole week in the NFL. I'll tell you the truth,
it was pretty big. I mean, like there were like two like stops around the goal line to force the field goal.
Yeah, and I was a little surprised.
Separate downs,
Niners,
I should say. Separate downs.
I was surprised the Niners went for that field goal to make it 9-0. I thought the only possible way they could have lost the game was a blocked field goal there. It's not like if the Redskins had stopped them on 4th-and-1, it's not like the Redskins were then going to turn around and go 70 yards for a game-winning touchdown in the rain.
With no timeouts. Yeah, I actually tweeted during the last timeout when they were setting, I tweeted that I would go for it and not kick this field goal.
Oh, absolutely. I definitely would have gone for it. I mean, you're probably going to get the first down anyway, and if you don't, the Redskins' offense has showed absolutely nothing the whole day. There's no way they were going to drive the field against the 49ers there. I didn't agree with that decision to kick the field goal at all, but it doesn't matter because most of the money was bet at 9.5 or 10, and we did very well in the game.
Okay, so that's a survivor option for people still alive, I am being one of them. To Sunday, Giants, I would imagine, was a very popular pick last week, moved from 3 to 3.5. They're catching 7 at the Lions, who... You know, I'm worried about them salvaging the season here, given what happened on Monday night against the Packers, and they got overwhelmed last week with the Vikings.
You know, I feel like every Packer game I watch, the Packers just get every call. Am I the only one? I don't even care. I don't have a problem with the Packers at all. They're not in my division. I don't care at all about them. I just feel like every time I watch the Green Bay Packers, they get every call.
Yeah, welcome to the NFL.
Am I imagining that? Or is this game, Lions -7, even money right now. The Giants last week were a very popular pick. They were the number one pick in the gold and the classic super contests. Everybody was on the Giants, and the Cardinals beat them. That was our other big winner yesterday, last Sunday morning, excuse me. Right now, most of the money's in here on Detroit. We're going to see a lot of money on Detroit in money line parlays and teasers especially. So I'm pretty sure we'll need the Giants pretty big in this game.
By the way, the Cardinals are now 3-0 ATS in that early time slot playing on the East Coast.
Cardinals are quietly 3-3-1 with a rookie head coach and a rookie QB. So they look like a team that's clearly ahead of schedule.
Yeah, they covered against the Giants, covered against the Ravens, and there's another team. Oh, they beat the Cincinnati Bengals outright.
And they covered against, I know this is going back, but they covered against the Lions as well.
Yeah, in week 1. I was just saying, about East Coast. You know, we hear so much about those West Coast teams going to the early time slot. So I have no opinion on that game. I just can't get a read on this Detroit team, but good to see Daniel Jones come back to earth and not be the second coming. It's going to take some work for him.
He's really been struggling. We'll see how he does on Sunday, but the last few weeks, he's been struggling big time.
This is a game I have no desire to watch. Tennessee at home to Tampa. Titans laying 2.5 here.
Yeah, not a whole lot of action on this one either. I don't think – this doesn't look like a game that's going to be a real big decision. I don't know what people are going to bet on in this game. I don't even know how you could bet on this game. I do think it's interesting, though, that the Titans look better, to me at least, with Tannehill in there at quarterback than with Mariota.
Yeah, Tannehill looks pretty competent, all things considered. I was definitely not a fan of him in the past. We'll see one game, obviously. So the Bears, what do you do with the Bears here with the aforementioned Chargers? Back-to-back road games for the Chargers. You know, this looks tough, but I don't trust the Bears here, again, as a favorite.
And this is one we definitely have seen money come in on. Money's on the Chargers. They took 6, they took 5, they took 4.5. Right now the Chargers are getting 4 at Chicago. People love to bet on – we always talk about this. People love to bet against the Chargers when they're a home favorite. They also love to bet on the Chargers when they're a road underdog. I don't know how you could bet on the Chargers right now, but I certainly wouldn't advocate betting on the Bears as laying points with their offense. So tough game to pick for me, but all the money, all the sharp money is coming in on the Chargers here.
Impressive. Good for anyone who's trying to bet that game.
Yeah, that's a tough one to me as well. I don't know. I just, both those teams are such a mess right now. Both those teams are having such disappointing seasons.
Seattle at Atlanta. This game, what, off the board because of Matt Ryan's unknown status?
Off the board. And talk about a team that would be hard to bet on right now is Atlanta. Ooh. Oh, my God. They are a disaster. I can't believe Dan Quinn is still the coach of that team.
I'm stunned as well.
this is a game. We won't put a number up on this until Matt Ryan's a little bit more clarity on who's going to be the quarterback for the Falcons. But if it is Matt Ryan, I think this number will be around like 5, 5.5, Seattle favored, and then closer to 10, maybe in the 8.5, 9 range.
If I think Matt Ryan's 7 at circa, no?
Let me see. I don't have my screen up right now.
Okay, well, Vegas Insider has that. But either way, Seattle has
screen
to win
also
this game.
The screen also says William Hill has the number at 3.5. I don't know. That could be a remnant from earlier. Okay. I'd have to log into my accounts to see if it's a real number.
Gotcha. All right, so I would take Seattle 7 or less, but I'd be skeptical. I mean, that's still, you can't get too carried away with some of these.
Well, there has to be a point where the number gets so out of control where there's actually value on Atlanta. And we've seen that with the Miami Dolphins the last couple of weeks where the lines have just gotten so high that the value has shifted. But to me, the Falcons just look like a team that's quit on their coach and their coaching staff. So I don't know why you'd want to back them right now.
How do the Jets respond? At Jacksonville, Jags -6.
Yeah, we opened this one 4.5, up to 6 right now. Obviously, the Jets looked atrocious on Monday Night Football. And that's a factor in why this number's gone up. Hard to really to know how they're going to respond. I actually think there could be some value on New York here, though.
I do, too.
You almost have to – Belichick is so far ahead of the other coaches, you almost have to throw the Patriots games out when evaluating teams. Don't forget how good the Jets looked at home against Dallas 2 weeks ago. They looked really good in that game. Their defense looked great. Darnold looked really good. Dallas is one of the better teams in the NFC. So you don't want to totally forget about that game and focus everything on just what happened on Monday night.
Yeah, I mean, quintessential NFL handicapping would say bet the Jets this week. You're getting 2 points of value.
Mm-hmm. And Jacksonville's nothing special. Gardner Minshew has a long way to go. Let's say that.
Yeah, I think I'm on the Jets this week.
All right. I could see
but
it.
The Jags do have a good defense. That's the thing. The Jags do have a good defense, but
they do, but they don't have Belichick.
Nope, that is true. I don't think that would have been a big story this week, though, if they did.
Yes.
Philly at Buffalo. This Bills team. I like the Bills this week. I like them a lot.
I'm going to go the other way on this one. I kind of like Philadelphia here in this spot. It's a tough spot for Philly, though. Third of three tough road games.
Right.
They were
Bingo.
In Minnesota, in Dallas, so it is a tough spot. But let's see what happens with some of these key Eagle players that are on the injury report. Philadelphia's got a lot of really, really important players like Jason Peters, DeSean Jackson, guys that are really important to their team that are questionable for this week.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, just not having Peters and then the Cowboys had Tyron Smith was just such a big factor. And the Bills defense smothering, I was on the Bills last week, first half. So what do I know? But I think this Bills team is pretty solid. And I think
they're very well coached.
Eagles
Buffalo's
have some
a
issues.
Very well coached team.
Eagles have some issues with injuries, but also like Jeffrey that had the internal report that was, all this dissension, if you will. I'm not sold on Philly being that good, honestly. I'm not.
They need to get these guys back. And this is kind of an example of why it's hard to pick Sunday's games on Wednesday or Thursday. That we'll learn a lot when the injury reports come out on Friday. Obviously, you already said it, but the whole complexion of that Philadelphia-Dallas game changed when certain guys were ruled in and certain guys were ruled out for that game. And it seemed like everything favored the Cowboys.
You know who are the biggest Dolphins fans these days?
The Bengals?
Since he's front office.
Yeah. The Bengals need a
They are
Bengals
flying
need a
under
quarterback.
The radar, all things considered. They are really off the grid for this horrendous season. They're 13-point dogs at the Rams.
Well, this game's in London.
Gets me every time.
That's all right.
Middle of the card? When's the London game middle of the card ever?
I got an advantage, though. I've got our system open at work, and I can see that on the heading of the ticker, it says NFL Week 8 at London, England.
Well, I knew this because I was talking about Eliminator on Monday with one of my bosses, and he's like, yeah, that game's in London, and I already know. I have a buddy who's the radio voice of the Rams. I used to work with him in Iowa. Anyways, people were talking about pubs on Twitter in London, so I knew this game. I just forgot, but middle of the card kind of snuck up on me.
could happen to anybody. Everybody's on the Rams. I mean, this is not going to be a big surprise. I mean, take account 5.5 to 1 on the Rams. We're going to
lay 13.
Yeah, the public bettors, they don't care. They're not sensitive to the number. If it was 13.5, they wouldn't stop at all. If it was 14, I don't know. I don't think that would stop them either. We're going to need the Bengals in this game pretty big. Nothing to report in terms of sharp action. The Bengals are just playing out the string of this season, and they should be evaluating quarterbacks in the spring. Let's say that. They should be evaluating quarterbacks right now to make sure they get their right guy in the spring.
Yeah, don't they have Ryan Finley off NC State?
They do. I mean, I guess there's a point where you might as well see what the guy has.
Yeah.
I can't disagree with that. I mean, there's no point, and you don't even want to win these games anyway, you know? So there's no reason to win at this point. So you might as well start evaluating some of your younger players with an eye towards the future.
Wouldn't it be amazing if the Dolphins don't even get the number one pick?
That would be interesting. Yeah, it would be. And the Bengals are 0-7, right? I mean, it's not, and the Bengals are probably, you know, throw out the Patriots, but the Bengals division's really competitive. Well, no, the Steelers are awful. I don't know. I can't even evaluate who's going to be the first pick or the first worst team. I mean, I'd have to look at the schedules.
Big win for the Redskins in Miami. They were in the mix.
Oh, that was critical. Yeah, making sure they now the Redskins can pick like fifth or something stupid.
All right, more with John Murray in just a moment. But first, a word from one of our sponsors. Talking about erectile dysfunction is not easy. Usually, people just brush it off or blame themselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo. Or avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work. Or, sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it is easy to talk about. With a real doctor who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. The doctor will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/Doug and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Just go to GetRoman.com/Doug to get a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/Doug for a free visit to get started. GetRoman.com/Doug.
Gosh, New Orleans, at some point they're not going to cover, right? You would think they're laying 9.5 now, but you can't fade Teddy Bridgewater, who is the best ATS cover percentage in the Super Bowl era of any quarterback.
I mean, the question becomes, how many times do you want to lose betting money against these guys? I have to ask myself that question. Every week I say I feel like this is a bad spot for the Saints, and every week they seem to win. So at this point, I don't want to get involved going against the Saints anymore. The Saints are going to be a really popular teaser money line play here. Tickets are about 6-1 on the Saints. We'll need the Cardinals pretty big. I know the Cardinals are on a 3-game winning streak, but I don't think the public bettors are really looking to back the Cardinals at all.
Yeah, I don't think they are either. This will be interesting to see the rookie coach, rookie quarterback go into that Superdome. And yeah. Face this team. Yeah. But.
And face a really good defense. It might be the best secondary in the NFL. I mean, New England, obviously terrific in the secondary too. But New Orleans, Marshawn Lattimore right now is playing like the best corner in the NFL. They might have the best defensive backfield in the league. They've been really, really good.
For sure. Okay. The Raiders in Houston. 6.5 here. Texans dropped the ball, had their chances on the goal line, particularly against the Colts. Don't get it done. Mm-hmm. And it's another Raiders just again aren't playing at home until November. They're away from home yet again.
Yeah, it's such a tough schedule for the Raiders. I mean, I know we've talked about it a lot, but it's true. Now they're on the road again against another team with playoff aspirations. People were taking 7 with Oakland in this game. Sharper players. We're down to 6.5. Houston really has been kind of a fade when they've been home favorites recently.
Yeah.
Houston's been a much better road team. I know they just lost on the road last week, but in general, they've been a much better road team than home team. Could be a spot to get involved here on the Raiders. I'm going to pass, though. I just think the Raiders are running out of steam a little bit with how difficult their schedule has been. But I got a lot of respect for the job John Gruden's doing.
I do too.
Even that game last week could have been different. I mean, Derek Carr with a big mistake fumbling at the goal line. And again, some very questionable calls that just all seemed to go the Packers' way. I'm not saying that's why they won. I think they would have won anyway, but I think the final score of that game was a little bit misleading.
I think it was a lot misleading. I think you're absolutely right. I've been impressed. And look, as a Raider fan, I was very skeptical of the hire of Gruden. I was very critical early on. But I will tell you that the offensive play calling, especially in the first half, has been really strong. Like the designs of all the plays, attacking the weaknesses and tendencies of the opposing defense. I've been pleasantly surprised by what Gruden's doing with the offense and Carr. So that's been awesome. Awesome to see.
I think it's really impressive when you consider how long he was out of the league that he's
right.
That he's
but like, it's not like he went to Mars. Okay, like he's going over game film all week preparing for it. People said that about Herm Edwards too. Like you don't forget how to coach, especially when you are now. Herm was at least doing NFL, not college. But I mean, Herm was doing the Under Armour stuff. Gruden was.
You don't forget how to coach. I don't know. I mean, have you seen Chip Kelly and how he's doing it? I'm not sure if I agree with that. I mean,
do you realize how bad UCLA was, though?
Sure.
Monster was their quarterback.
No, they were bad. But coaches need to evolve. Jim Harbaugh isn't evolving in Ann Arbor. He's still running the same offense he was running 10 years ago. You got to give John Gruden a lot of credit for getting with the times. He's doing a great job.
I agree. I've been pleasantly surprised this year, no doubt about that. So for me, it's Raiders or pass. And San Francisco, Jimmy G, 14-2 in his career as a starter, undefeated this year.
Yeah.
Carolina comes to town.
Jimmy G is asked to do nothing, by the way. I watched a little bit of that game on Sunday. That defense is so good. He basically is asked to do nothing. Kyle Shanahan's play calling, I think, is very good. I don't have a problem with Jimmy G. I think he's got a very easy job right now. Let's say that.
Well, they've gone under in every game but once, so clearly the defense.
We did have a guy. I'm glad. Nice lead in there. We did have a guy, a sharper player, bet over 41 in that game. We're at 41.5 in that game. As far as the side is concerned, we opened this game a little higher at 6. Some guys took 6. We're down to 5.5. It's a little sharp money on Carolina. Carolina's off their bye, I think. Correct. So
correct.
It could be a good spot for the Panthers. The 49ers 6-0, but I don't know how many people are really buying into the 49ers as an elite team. I will say though, their defense is just awesome.
I was gonna say, why not? I disagree there. I mean, we saw the Bears last year make a run, and Trubisky was in a couldn't get. Let me rephrase that. Like Nagy didn't really trust Trubisky in the playoff game, but I think Shanahan with Jimmy G and that running attack and that defense, I think they're absolutely a contender.
No, you could be right. And the NFC is so wide open. You might be right about that. I don't hear what I meant was more, not really necessarily myself. What I meant was more like, I don't hear that many people talking about them as a potential Super Bowl team.
Right. They're not odds on favorite to win their conference. Like the AFC's undefeated team.
Yeah, they're just – I don't hear too much – well, no, they're certainly never going to be lumped in with New England.
That's my point. Yeah, they're both undefeated, but one team is odds on, the other isn't.
True.
Okay, so that's a dead number. I mean, I would consider laying the 5.5. I think you kind of have to throw out last week's offense just given the rain. I mean, it was a slip and slide. The next game – oh, God. Am I going to want the dog here? Denver plus 6 at Indy. You have 5.5?
Yeah. We're down to 5.5 on that one. Some money came in on Denver. Colts, talk about a team that this coaching staff is doing a great job. Frank Reich and his staff are doing a tremendous job at Indianapolis. That was a great win for them on Sunday. They're now the odds-on favorite to win the AFC South. When you consider that their star quarterback retired a week before the season started, think about how impressive that really is.
It is amazing. Just everything. I mean, the fact that they didn't get the head coach they wanted, right? They wanted McDaniels, got Frank Reich. The quarterback abruptly leaves. That is impressive.
It really is.
To your point, they're the favorites now in their division, which just, I heard there was buzz preseason about the Colts win total. This is after the Luck news. I was like, I don't know if I'm buying that. Sure enough, that was smart money.
Jacoby Brissett doing a really good job. I think this, and I don't want to take anything away from Brissett because I actually like him, but I think this really shows how important having the right play caller, having a play caller and a coach that puts the quarterback in a good position is just so crucial. We're seeing it in Baltimore, you know, and I like Lamar Jackson, but that to me, a lot of that is John Harbaugh putting him in good position to succeed. And we're seeing that big time with Jacoby Brissett. We see it all the time with Tom Brady, and I just mentioned how we see it with Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco. So it's up to the coach, the play caller on these offenses to put their QBs in a position to succeed. And I definitely think we're seeing that with Brissett.
Absolutely.
We're not seeing it in the next game. Let me tell you that. I mean, you want to go to the next game. I'll tell you a guy who's not doing that is Kitchens with Baker Mayfield. That's your number one job. If you're the play caller, if you're the offensive guy for the team, is to put the quarterback in a good position. And Freddie Kitchens is not doing that. But luckily for him, all he's got to do this week is go on the road and play the Patriots defense and Bill Belichick. That shouldn't be too hard.
The battle of the minds here.
Oh, the meeting of the minds. Talk about a coaching mismatch. Kitchens against Belichick. Oh, my goodness. Kitchens has a one-day head start. He needs about a one-year head start to be ready for this game.
It is. I mean, we're getting the tax. Not that we weren't getting it earlier, but we really are getting the tax now. New England laying 13 to Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is a game. I think we opened it, I want to say 10 on Sunday when we first put these up.
Right.
New England 10. Now we're at 13. Now, of course, part of that is because of the blowout on Monday Night Football. Part of it is the time slot. This is the big afternoon kickoff on Sunday. So you know everyone's going to be betting on the Patriots. The Browns will probably be our biggest decision of the week in the NFL. So because of those two things, you're seeing this number drift up a full 3 points from where we opened it at. Could be some value on Cleveland, but do you really want to bet against Belichick with Freddie Kitchens? I don't know.
No, I do not. And that's the thing. I there's very few things I'm adamant about as not fading the Patriots. And last year, look, AFC Championship game, I learned my lesson. I had Kansas City, and it was close. It was close. Dee Ford was offsides, and then that burned. Mm-hmm. But to your point, there's just better things to do, you know, with your one's money.
There's got to be something else to do on a Sunday afternoon.
I'm actually at the point where I'm thinking about just martingaling the Patriots the rest of my life.
The rest of your life? You got a long way to go.
Well, I mean, how many times can they lose in a row against the spread?
How much longer is Belichick going to be coaching them?
Martingale.
I don't know. As long as Belichick's there, they're going to be fine.
That's my point. No, I'm saying doing it on the Patriots is my point. Like, just keep betting on them.
No, I know. But you said for the rest of your life, you're a young man.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, you never know with Belichick. I mean, Brady, the way those two are going, you never know. Sunday night, I think an actually extremely intriguing game. I mean, just 10 days, Andy Reid has a quarterback that I think is a little bit better than people realize. Just what this Kansas City offense looks like without Mahomes.
Yeah, there's some reports on Twitter this morning that Mahomes is practicing. I mean, I certainly don't expect him to play on Sunday, but we've got Green Bay laying 4 in this game. Most of the money's on Green Bay. Now, our look-ahead number was more like Chiefs -3 back when we thought Mahomes was going to play. So that, you know, obviously before he got hurt last Thursday night. So that gives you an idea of his worth to the line. But I agree with you, though. This is a very intriguing game for Sunday Night Football. And we're going to, unless there's some miracle Mahomes plays, which I think would be a big mistake by the Chiefs, we're going to need Kansas City pretty big in this game.
Yeah, I mean, just the football nerd in me just would like to see what Andy Reid's going to do here. Like, I'm very interested to see what Alabama's going to do without Tua. Yeah. I'm just curious. Is he going to just grind the clock and try to get in and out of that game into the bye week, talking about Nick Saban? Or is he going to try to prepare Mac Jones and get him ready for potential of facing LSU, depending on how Tua recovers from ankle surgery? In this case, Andy Reid is a wizard, for lack of a better word, very creative. I'm curious what he's going to do with all that speed. Is it going to be a lot of pop passes like we saw the Steelers do on that Monday night against the Bengals when it was all throws around the line of scrimmage, just using the speed of Samuels and some of the other guys? And is he just going to use Tyreek Hill, or is it just going to be checkdowns? Is he going to run a lot with all of his backs and dump downs to Shady McCoy? I'm just kind of interested to see what Andy Reid's planning with 10 days, essentially.
It's kind of a bummer, though, is probably the two best quarterbacks in the NFL, in my mind, are Mahomes and Rodgers. It would have been a lot of fun to see them go head-to-head on Sunday Night Football, but I definitely think it's better for Kansas City in the long term to let Mahomes get healthy. This is only a non-conference game anyway, so Kansas City's focus right now should just be on winning their division and getting Mahomes healthy in time for the postseason.
I agree. It'll be fun to watch. And you're right. It is definitely a bummer. Similar kind of intrigue, right? Monday night. Gosh, what a buzzkill.
You work at ESPN, so you're gonna have to be the one that hypes up this game because I can't get too excited for this one.
You know, it reminds me. I mean, I don't know why it reminds me, but like 7 years ago, whenever it was, 8, 9 years ago, when Peyton Manning was out for the year, and the Colts were playing on a Monday night against the Bucks, and the Bucks stunk as well, but the handle and the viewership on the game was off the charts on a Monday night football game.
Well, people will bet on this game, and people will watch the game. I'm not going to dispute that. I don't have any interest in the game. I know that we'll have a decision on the game.
I'm intrigued by this game a little bit as well. Like, I want to watch the Steelers and how much better Mason Rudolph looks, because he's looked incompetent. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking about this game for my survivor pool. To be honest, I'm considering the Steelers.
I respect that in the survivor pool. I was thinking about sitting in my living room with the TV off and just sitting there instead of watching this game. But if I was in a survivor pool, I guess I could see it differently.
With Fitzpatrick, I don't think I can do it, though. I would just not. I would have. I have to take one of the other big spreads.
Most of the people are betting Miami right now. I mean, there's not a lot of people that have bet the game, period. But there's a few more tickets on Miami. People just are not going to be in a rush to lay 14.5 points with the Steelers with no Big Ben. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, no, I'm actually looking to Miami as well. That's all interesting. Right. All right, my friend, let's get into it.
It's time for Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
All right, my friend, well done out of you. Nice bounce back performance. You went 0-2 the previous week, but solid two wins for you with Colts and Titans. Well done.
Yeah, the Titans was an easy win, I thought. Never really had to worry about that game. The Colts was a good pick. I think that game maybe wasn't as close as the score indicated. The Colts were really in control of that game.
Yeah, they were. And it all started with like the in-the-grasp call and that Deshaun Watson threw a touchdown. But that was early in the game. Right. I mean, that was early in the game. But settling for field goals, kicking is for losers, Mr. Director.
Kicking is very, very silly. Very silly. Why would you kick a field goal? Just go for it.
Right. Okay, sir. So I got cute, played back the Chiefs play because of the Mahomes injury on Thursday night. So I lost money on the juice, but then won with the Rams. So we each win money, but you won a lot with a total of a dime with two nickel bets. So goodbye. Yeah,
I was at that game. I was at that hockey game on Thursday night with a buddy of mine, and he was all bent out of shape because he couldn't be at home in front of his screen to live bet Denver when Mahomes got hurt. And I pointed out to him after the game how much money he'd saved by going to the NHL game instead. So
good point. Yeah, but, basically, yeah. I'm thinking the winning because he wanted to bet on the Broncos.
Well, he would have bet on the Broncos when Mahomes got hurt. Yeah, of course.
Well, I thought you were saying the variance.
A lot of money.
The variance in the live market, because that was really interesting. The variance in the live market, and that's the thing we talk about live betting, is that it's just not hardened into place. Because I was, it's basically like all week these closing numbers are pretty solid, right? Pretty efficient market, but like during commercial break, the live betting is just not as efficient, right? There's more, and then you have an injury to arguably the guy who impacts the point spread the most in the NFL, maybe Rodgers, but let's just say it's Mahomes, then...
Hey, Mahomes is up there. I mean,
there's going to be variance in the live line. That's the point that I was trying to make.
Sure. That's fair.
All right, sir. You certainly have the honors.
You want me to go? It's still so early in the week. I'll give you this one for now, though. I like the Raiders plus the 6.5. I still believe in Gruden and that offense. I thought, like I said earlier, I thought that score was a little bit misleading, that Green Bay score. And Houston really hasn't been as good of a team at home as they have been on the road. So I'll go with your Raiders and the points in the Sunday afternoon game.
It's a solid play. Good for you.
Thank you.
I thought about it. So the schedule doesn't bother you? You think you're getting the value?
Well, I'm a little worried about that. Yeah, the Raiders are on the very end of or the last game of just a brutal schedule to start their season. But I'm still going to go with them here in this spot.
All right, I'm taking two of the ugly.
Concern me though.
I'm taking two ugly dogs this week.
Okay,
I'm uh, Give me a nickel on the Jets plus six.
Oh, okay, great. I was about to say that my other play was going to be the Jets plus six for a nickel, and I didn't say earlier that my Raiders play is also for a nickel.
Okay, that's okay.
So both, I'll do Raiders plus 6.5 for 500, and I'll do Jets plus six for 500. So go, but you go ahead and give me your analysis of the game.
Well, I just think what we talked about earlier, getting a little extra value, yeah. It should be about four. I like the Jags, but they play low scoring games kind of thing, and I think the Jets are have more of a potent offense than we realize. And I thought Le'Veon Bell looked pretty good, actually, all things considered.
So, he did. I thought he looked good.
So I think I think NFL players are competitors, and I think they're pissed off. Let's face it, they're embarrassed. And I think Sam Darnold was seeing ghosts out there, and I don't think he'll see ghosts in Jacksonville.
Why were people upset about Darnold saying he was seeing ghosts? I didn't understand that little controversy yesterday.
It's a bad look. Just not that he said it, but I think the criticism was that ESPN aired it. It's just going to follow. It's not quite the butt fumble, but it's going to follow him for a while. I mean, let's face it.
Okay. I mean, he played poorly for sure, but I think he'll bounce back here. I think Darnold needs to not zero in on Demaryius Thomas so much. I mean, I felt like every throw he made on Monday night was to Demaryius Thomas. And he had a terrible drop early in that game. Not that it would have mattered. But maybe spread it around. Take a look at that Jamison Crowder guy. That guy's a good player.
Yeah, no, good stuff. Okay, so we got to wrap things up. I just got the sign. So my other nickel play is going to be Miami plus 14.5.
Okay.
Ooh, like I said, two ugly dogs.
I'm done. That's it for me. So you consider the sign given to me as I'm done anyway. So
and
we're
I,
all good.
And I have one more. I'm going to take a nickel on the Bills minus, what do you have, 1.5 or two?
We have 1.5 on Buffalo.
Yeah, I like Buffalo here. And I know it's a little bit of recency bias, but I don't think the Eagles are, I think it's just a good spot for Buffalo. It's actually kind of all a good right, spot for the Eagles, spot. All things considered. But
I think it's kind of tough for Philadelphia. Third of three road games.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry. I meant just coming off an embarrassing performance. You want to bet on those teams like we touched on the Jets. But you're right. I blanked for a sec. Yeah, you're right. That was they're the only team this year that's playing three straight road games without a bye. So
I want to see who's in and who's out for Philadelphia before I make a pick on that game. It's still early in the week. I need to see who's playing on Friday when they do the bigger injury report.
Yep. Okay. I'm going to beat the market on that. How about that? Maybe I talked to all Schefter, right. You know? I know what's going on. No, I'm just kidding.
All right, fair enough. I wish I had that kind of access.
All right, my friend, safe travels. Good luck to you, fine sir. Maybe you'll be up 2-0 by time this podcast
awesome,
hits the airwaves. We don't even know. That's the beauty of technology. We don't even know what the series score will be.
I can't wait to get down there for games 3 and 4. Looking forward to it, and I'll talk to you next week.
This has been Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
All right, that does it for this podcast. Appreciate everyone's loyal listenership all week as we had the Monday pod with Kevin Pelton and Andre Snellings. Also, obviously, yesterday we had the college football and NBA with ER, and then today NFL. So it's a lot of options out there. We appreciate everyone listening. And Travis, you've been a loyal participant in all of this. Traveling everywhere, flying midday, coming straight from the airport to help me out here.
You know, I figured the least I could do since I left you high and dry this morning is I could come in for the afternoon to tape some things. So, you know.
You're doing the Lord's work, my friend. You're doing the Lord's work.
If you were doing the Lord's work, you could hand out more winners. So
come on. I think I'm trying to go off memory. I think I'm 26 and 19.
Hey, long as you're above 500.
So No, my college record's great. My NFL, not so much.
Nobody ever went broke turning a profit.
No, I'm 8-9 right now. I think in the NFL column.
Did we get an update on the Tuco?
Tuco, yes. My Twitter feed blew up. I guess we jinxed him.
So, well, I named the pod last week Tuco.
I saw that. That was well done. My Twitter feed was like, you jinxed him, all this stuff. Well, I mean, did you really expect it without the jinx he was going to continue on that tear?
We have that kind of power.
Yeah, that's what it is, isn't it? All right, man. Well, thanks to everyone. I really mean it. Seriously, there's a lot of options out there. And you guys all have busy work days, busy lives. So appreciate your listening. And hopefully we add some brevity and also some financial rewards.